Let's continue on with this case. So the patient was having some neuropathy. You stopped the nab-paclitaxel, and then you said he had, was the imaging evidence of progression?
Yeah, exactly. So initial response, but subsequently the liver lesions started to grow. And that was after six cycles of chemotherapy altogether.
And what was his clinical status at that point? What tumor-related symptoms, if any, did he have?
So his ECOG performance status was 1. He was beaten up a bit by chemotherapy, just in terms of fatigue. His weight had been originally stable, but he was starting to lose a little bit of weight at that point, but still well enough to be in the ballgame and to be a candidate for additional treatment. And I can't say that for every patient. And certainly, historically, maybe fewer than half of patients really remained well enough to continue on with some form of second-line treatment. I think that proportion is much higher now. And that's why I was saying I think we're in some ways changing the natural history of this disease. But he was well enough for us to consider additional treatment.
What do you do in terms of first-line therapy in someone who had neoadjuvant therapy, specifically neoadjuvant FOLFIRINOX? And how does that vary based on when the relapse occurs?
So it absolutely does depend on when the relapse occurs, and it does depend on what kind of clinical and pathologic response they had to their neoadjuvant therapy. So if you take, say, the earlier case example, a patient who seemed to have a great response to FOLFIRINOX, if she relapsed, say, more than a year later and didn't have too much residual neuropathy from her prior treatments, I wouldn't hesitate to use FOLFIRINOX again. I don't consider that clear evidence of resistance to initial therapy.
So in this man who's progressed on gem-nab, what, from your point of view, were reasonable options to consider at that point?
So I would definitely switch to a fluoropyrimidine-based regimen, and that can include several options. Of course, FOLFIRINOX is an option. I will say that it's not that often that someone after gemcitabine nab-paclitaxel is still in such good shape and blood counts look good that we can then switch to FOLFIRINOX. More often than not, they'll switch to a slightly simpler fluoropyrimidine-based regimen. I am using a regimen that includes nanoliposomal irinotecan together with infusion of 5-FU leucovorin. So that regimen, which is similar to FOLFIRI, although that question in terms of, well, is FOLFIRI as good? We don't have that comparison. So based on level one evidence for NALIRI, nanoliposomal irinotecan, I do use that often as a go-to standard in the second-line setting following gemcitabine-based chemotherapy. FOLFOX previous to that had been a standard, and I'll still use that sometimes. It has certain advantages and disadvantages compared to a camptothecin-containing regimen. The issue is a lot of patients following gem-nab-paclitaxel are going to still have significant neuropathy, so giving them another neurotoxic agent in the second-line setting just may not be good from a quality-of-life perspective.
What about FOLFIRI?
Yeah, you know, there are centers and individuals who think that FOLFIRI, if instead of using nanoliposomal irinotecan, think that FOLFIRI might be just as good. We don't have head-to-head evidence to show that. There are some data more from sort of smaller series looking at FOLFIRI in that post-gemcitabine setting. As I said, right now I go with where we have prospective randomized evidence. There are at least certain pharmacologic advantages of nanoliposomal irinotecan compared to free irinotecan in terms of distribution of drug, tumor retention, and things. So if I'm going to use a regimen with an irinotecan-based drug, it would be the nanoliposomal form.
From your perspective, at least theoretically, is the advantage of the liposomal formulation activity, tolerability, or both?
So it's a therapeutic index window where you really are getting better drug delivery specifically. There's something called enhanced permeability and retention associated with nanoliposomal form of the drug. Again, whether those conceptual pharmacologic advantages translate into a clear clinical benefit of the nanoliposomal form compared to the free form, we don't really know that for sure. So the verdict is still out as far as that goes until that time, and I don't know whether any direct comparison will ever be done in that context, but until that time, I will stick with the nanoliposomal form.